So today we have this beautiful reading from St. Peter. It's the first letter of Peter. As we know in the Bible, there are two of them that St. Peter wrote. And in this particular one, Peter says something I think rather significant. He's trying to get us to imitate Christ and learn from the example of Christ. And he says this, he says, "When Jesus was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten." Now, that's a fascinating lesson that Peter himself learned. It was a hard lesson Peter had to learn. Because where do you think Peter learned that Jesus, when he was insulted and made to suffer, didn't strike back? Where do you think he learned that? In the garden on Holy Thursday night. The first thing Peter did when he saw Jesus beginning to suffer was pull out his sword and threaten. And he cut off the ear of Malchus. You might recall that. And Jesus stopped him. There's the lesson. And he's recounting it here. When he was made to suffer, he didn't counter with threats. He didn't pull out his sword. And for that reason, of course, I think our culture today, we tend to dismiss Jesus as nothing more than a wimp. Because when you're threatened and made to suffer, of course, you got to hit back and bust heads, pull out your brass knuckles, maybe take out a bat and bash in the other guy's car. Do something. And see, this is what I call, it's a real simple example of what I call the rise in our culture today of the bullies. That's what happens. It's one of the symptoms, I guess you might say, of our culture's wholesale abandonment of Christ. The rise of the bullies. And we've had some pretty horrible ones, especially in the 20th century. We had some really awful bullies that took the lives of millions of people. It was a very dark century because of the bullies. And they didn't learn that from Christ. Not one of them. And see, this is what Peter's saying. Now, Peter was, fortunately for him, humble enough to begin to learn the lesson from Jesus of what it meant to be a human being instead of a bully. Because that's what Jesus, and believe it or not, we are human beings, but we really don't know how to be human beings when what we do to each other is so often pretty mean and actually quite vicious. And that's what makes life challenging a lot of times. It isn't, oh, why does God allow this? It's more like, why are we even doing this to each other? And in part, it's because we haven't learned from the Master. We haven't learned to be good human beings by listening to the Master. Now, Peter had a lot to learn. Of course, he did. He went through some of the same kinds of struggles that Judas did. Now, Judas is not an example of what to do when you feel as though you failed our Lord because he committed suicide. It's not a solution. Fortunately for Peter, he recovered. He recovered, and he came back, and our Lord, he began to learn from him the value of mercy. Because that's the other thing. When he was made to suffer, he didn't counter with threats. And when he came back from the dead, Jesus did not start threatening the apostles, even though he could have. Just as he could have begun to threaten the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Roman soldiers that came to arrest him. He said it to Peter, I could call legions of angels against these people right now. Put that sword away, Peter.
He's very powerful, but he's not a bully.
See, that's the thing. That's what a bully is. A bully is someone who gets power and then uses it against others. And it seems like the high road and, hey, you're not going to pull anything over on me, but when that bully goes to bed that night after making your life miserable, they're less a human being than you are. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And that's what's happening in the culture today. We are becoming less humane in our relationships with one another. In fact, we can be anything we want in today's culture and society. Whatever you want. You can be anything you want. So why not be kind? No, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. You see what I'm saying? This is our challenge today. This is our challenge as Catholics in this culture. We are called upon to walk to the voice of the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, leaving us an example to lay down our lives for each other. Now, one of the lessons Peter had to learn way back, I mean, Jesus really worked on Peter because he had designated Peter to be his vicar on earth. And of course, that position of the apostle survives for us in Rome, in the Holy Father, the Pope. He's a successor to Peter. And one of the hardest lessons I would guess Peter had to learn, because I know it's been a tough one for me, is Jesus at one point in Matthew's gospel says, enter through the narrow gate. The road leading to perdition is wide, and many there are who travel it. Enter through the narrow gate. And then he laments how few there are who never find it. The road is wide, leading to perdition. What is this narrow gate? Jesus tells us today in the gospel. He says, I am the gate. I'm the gate. The narrow gate. And it is narrow because it's so humble. It's so humble. See, that's what Peter didn't have Holy Thursday night. He wasn't humble. When he saw danger on the horizon, he did the first impulsive thing that came to his mind, which was pull out his sword and strike for blood. And see, Jesus, when he corrected Peter, was inviting him to the narrow gate. He was about to show Peter another way, which was the way of the cross. The way of the cross. And see, the way of the cross is the way of humility. The way of humility. And humility isn't putting yourself down, because that makes it possible for you to become humble under your own strength and power just by starting to put yourself down, which is absolutely ridiculous. You have enough people trying to put you down, and certainly Satan is the accuser. He's trying to put you down. So don't join that chorus of putting yourself down. It goes nowhere. What is humility? Humility is truth. Humility is truth. That's what humility is. And the truth of the matter is, well, I'll speak for myself. I fail at love. Let's start there. I miss the narrow gate because of my pride. I'm speaking first person now, giving you my little inventory. I didn't get to know St. Joseph till I was 63 because I was too proud and he was so humble. He was there the whole time, but I didn't see him.
I was too proud. He was there the whole time, the terror of demons. The whole time he was there, and I never once saw him till the age of 63. Can you imagine that? That's how proud I've been. Enter through the narrow gate. We have people like the Blessed Mother to teach us about this. Well, she's no one to learn from. I mean, isn't she one of those wimpy ones again that just let people walk all over them? Not at all. She is such a woman of dignity. And she'll teach you where the narrow gate is. She'll help you get there too. You know, our Blessed Mother, I think we think of her so often as being so exalted in the heavens. And guess what? She is. But we forget that when you get into the heavens, it's not like you leave behind what you've become down here. And Mary comes from a really small backwoods town called Nazareth. And that doesn't leave her when she became glorified. She's still a very lowly, humble person from a small town in the Holy Land. She probably experienced days, for example, when she was hungry. She felt hunger pains. She was so poor. And you say, well, why didn't Jesus take care of it? Well, why doesn't Jesus solve your financial problems? It's the same answer. I think when Jesus fed the 5,000 and had the miracle of the loaves, Our Lady delighted in that. Not only because it was a manifestation of the divinity of her Son, but she got a meal that fed her hungry stomach. This is where Mary comes from. Her people are simple people. She's not that complicated. And she can help us approach the narrow gate. Jesus, I mean, it's so, he puts us on our head in terms of our pride. He's the God of the universe, incredibly powerful. He brought this whole universe into being, and he is so humble and lowly that most often he's beneath us. And we don't see him because we're flying so high with our heads in the clouds. That's been my challenge in life, in finding the narrow gate. I know it was the challenge of St. Francis of Assisi, the saint that founded my community. This man, for the first 20 years of his life, lived completely for the world. And when he experienced conversion, he literally left all the ways of the world, including the day he took all his clothes off before the whole town of Assisi and said, I'm giving these back to my dad, and now it's our Father who art in heaven. And the bishop quickly put a cloak on him because he was stark naked. And from that moment on, Francis strove with all his might to become humble and poor like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And you want to know something? Every morning he woke up, he was out-trumped by the humility of God in Jesus Christ, the humility of Mary, and the lowliness of her most chaste spouse, Joseph. And we might think, well, that puts him out of reach for us. And see, no, that's not true. These are simple people from small towns like Abbott, Texas. I mean, 250 people. They're simple, that's all. And we are so complicated. We've got the storms and the winds of pride going through our minds so much, it's like we've got a beehive around our heads. We can't see a thing. So much buzzing going on with all these voices coming at us. And then from down below, from the narrow gate comes a voice, the voice of the shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice. And he removes the beehive of these voices that are coming at us from the culture today. We're just inundated, just bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. Bzz, 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 bzz. And the winds of pride are blowing us up, up, and we're looking up, and we're on the way up. And there he is, way down there, and a distant voice, so lowly and humble. Will you come to me? Will you come to me? Yeah, he's not cracking a whip. Will you come to me? He really is the sweetness of our lives, Jesus. And this humility before truth is so beautiful about him. It's what makes it quite possible for any one of us to go to confession, because you'll never meet a man in there, unless he's a sinful priest, which you'll find some of those, by the way. But if you find some, you know, like, it's not going to be coming from Christ. Let me just put it that way. Anyone that's going to yell at you in a confessional is sinning, and they're not representing Christ well to you. Because, why? Christ will never yell at you. Because he's humble before the truth about your sin. He's humble. And it goes so well for us that sometimes we think, you know, hey, I'm doing pretty good. When in fact, it doesn't say anything about you at all that it's going well. It says everything about him, who he is, what he's about, and he's all about the sheep and not himself. And this is the truth. This is our good shepherd. He's the narrow gate. He's so lowly and humble, we miss him. He's so lowly and humble. We're living in a culture that basically believes it doesn't need him. We can just start to become bullies as a solution in the culture. And before you know it, you know what's going to happen. We're just going to tear each other apart, and there'll be nothing left. Nothing left. Because we'll be fighting over what's left and tearing each other apart. Before you know it, it's over. I mean, that's where that goes. Really? Is that what we want? Of course not. Of course it isn't. And Jesus is the way. He's the way to life. He came to teach us how to be human, how to be good human beings. And so, brothers and sisters, today I ask you one thing for sure. Don't be afraid of the Good Shepherd. He's way beneath you because he's so humble, lowly. And please don't make Mary into a statue or a plaster of Paris figure, because she is so alive and so humble. And if you get a chance, head down the road to Joseph's simple little carpenter shop that everybody drives by because it's so lowly. It's a business right here in Tarrant County. Nobody turns in there because it's such a simple carpenter shop. That can't be that significant. Head down that road some point. You know what you'll discover? There's Joseph, huge smile on his face and incredible hospitality. He says, hey, come on in here. Let's have some tea. My wife made some cookies for us. You want one? That's Joseph. The terror of demons. And he's so humble. He's so humble. So, brothers and sisters, today we are called upon to hear the voice of the shepherd, which I can guarantee you is coming from beneath all of us in humility. But he beckons us to become more like him than to continue on our own way, which is to elevate ourselves, promote ourselves, sell ourselves, and enter into the chatter of the world. It's not necessary when we follow Jesus.